For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, May the 29th, 1994. Memorial Weekend, Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Brother George Monta is the speaker of the evening.
Says the power's on.
Amen. Lord, anoint him with your spirit and your blessings this evening, that we can learn from your word to walk in righteousness and holiness. Amen, amen.
Amen. Adair, come stand by me for a minute. This is partly to show her off. And it's part of the anointing that the Lord has put on us. I wouldn't dare stand here without a sense of that anointing. Oh, hallelujah. And besides that, we like to sing just a little bit. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete as I sit at your feet, sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul. Some of you know it. Let's just sing it together. Just stand up and let's all sing it as a prayer. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul. My rest is complete as I sit at his feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I sought the Lord earnestly. And he heard me. This is the last evening of this session, but it's not really the last evening. It's just the last evening of this session. In looking back over the days of the camp meeting, I'm reminded of just a little thing that Pastor Sasser said, about a pastor who was looking at a little group of kids, like a little Sunday school class. And they were singing with the congregation, but they looked funny. And so he went over to hear what they were singing. And do you know what they were singing? They were singing, "He is exhausted." So. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Come back for July, you will be.
We've been invited to come for July, and I fully intend to be here, the Lord willing.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm not just sure what the Lord is going to say tonight, but he did tell me where to start. He said, first of all, to give you a sense of restfulness and a sense of peace, so that as you leave here, you go with the full anointing in your spirit and not turbulence in your soul. So he said, start with Isaiah 43. I was asked to teach a group of about 40 women at Teen Challenge. I had no idea what I'd be facing. It didn't take me long, however, to discover that all of them were drug addicts. Most of them, if not all of them, had been prostitutes. Probably half of them were diseased. Most of them were pretty mean looking. And I just knew I couldn't give them Ephesians or Colossians. And I said, "Lord, what should I do?" He says, "Tell him I love him. Give him Isaiah 43. So I'm just going to give you what I gave them to start with. I'm not going to teach it like I did to them, because you don't need that teaching. You just need to hear the word, and the word will come in and do its work. Thus says the Lord, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are what? I have called you by name, and you are mine. Can you imagine such a thing as the God who threw everything that is into existence, saying, the treasure of my universe is you? You are my treasure! He says, I've called you by name, and that has a very special meaning. In Hebrew, names are not labels, but are declarations of character. They didn't call anybody George. They called them strong in the Lord, or mighty man, or whatever. To us, it came out like Joshua, or Yeshua, or salvation. When Mary wanted Jesus to come and take out the garbage, she didn't go to the door and say, here, Jesus. She said, Yeshua, or salvation. Jesus would come running, take out the garbage, do whatever she wanted. All right, the name. I have called you by name. I've given you a name. Each of you has a name inscribed in your inner being that determines your destiny, that determines who you are becoming in the kingdom of God. That determines your function. It determines your character. It determines your authority. It determines, to some extent, your office as priests. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 3. Well, no, I'll give you an encouragement. Verse 2. When you pass through the waters, that's encouraging, isn't it? I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be scorched. Now that's a promise that he's going to take you through the fire. He's going to take you through the water. He's going to take you through the river. But he says, I've called you by name, so don't sweat it too much. So listen to what he says in verse 3. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. This doesn't mean the one who behaves himself and thus you can call him holy. It doesn't mean the one who has his hair just the right length, therefore he looks holy. Holy means totally complete and not lacking anything. Holy means fitting into the place that you were designed to fit into. Holy means appointed to the office to which you, well, fitting into the office to which you've been appointed. Holy is a designation of a description of what you are doing, and God is holy. He fits perfectly into the office assigned to himself. And that office is an office of infinite love and of infinite understanding and of infinite wisdom. Verse 4. Since you are what? Precious. Say, I am precious.
I am precious.
Tomorrow morning when you get up, let the Lord say, good morning, precious. I insist. So many Christians, because they've had problems, are down on themselves. And instead of going to the Lord and saying, I'm not adequate for this, what are you going to do about it? They look in the mirror and say, you're dirty, you're rotten, you're stinking. They are so heavy on themselves that a spirit of heaviness from a devil will come, a religious spirit. They get so heavy they can't even praise properly. They only imitate. They go out like a parrot, say, I praise the Lord, I praise the Lord, I praise the Lord. When, in fact, they don't have the recognition of God's infinite love. They haven't heard him say, morning, precious. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Since you are precious in my sight, and since you are what? What? You've heard the term, his honor, the mayor. He's honored because of his office, right? His honor, the judge. His honor, the thief. No, his honor. It's a designation of office. It's a recognition that that guy has something to do, which he does. And he's appointed to do it. God says, you are honored. You are honored. It doesn't mean that he has just kind of painted you a pretty color and says, that's kind of nice. I honor that. He says, I have designated you as part of my family. You have an office, and I have set you in it, and I honor you. Oh, isn't it good to be honored? To be honored by God himself. Oh, hallelujah. You are honored. And what? You are honored, and I love you. How many of you have actually heard God say, I love you? Have you heard that? Have you? Oh, if you haven't, get on your face, beat on the floor, do whatever you like. God, unless you tell me you love me so I can hear it, understand it, know it, sense it, and grow it, I'm not going to leave this place until you tell me you love me. Get serious with God until he, in fact, unfolds his nature. Until he tells you why you are precious. Until he tells you why you are honored. It isn't as though he has a big phone book with your name in it and says, the honored so-and-so. He says, you're honored. This means when the angels pass by you, they hesitate in reverence. They get together. There's a bunch of them out there looking in saying, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had what they got? Don't you know the angels long to look into the mystery of redemption? The angels long to know what we have. We don't even know what we got. If anything, we kind of wish we were up there flying around. Oh, hallelujah. You're precious. God wants you to know it. Take it by faith. Take it by faith. You're precious. I said, well, that's a good start. Now, what do I tell him? He says, all right, read this. This is Romans chapter 16, verse 20. Can anybody quote it without looking in the Bible? Ralph can. He can quote everything. Do you ever hear anybody with a memory like these? Oh, I had not known envy until I heard these guys speak. My forgetter is timed almost perfectly with my rememberer. And it's so frustrating. All right, listen to this. Because this is a word of the Lord for you. And that means you have a responsibility to deal with it. And the God of peace will soon what?
Bruise.
Will soon crush. Will soon bruise. Will soon deal with Satan under what? Why do you think there's been so much of this kind of ridiculous stomping around? Do you know how that terrifies the host of darkness? Do you know that there is such a thing as a prophetic gesture where you can stomp him under your feet and he gets stomped? This isn't just a kind of a little kid standing around saying, hey, I don't like my daddy, I'm going to stomp him. We have the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, who trod the paths of eternity in throwing the stars into place. And under our feet, which are his feet, we crush Satan. When?
Shortly.
Soon. How about tonight? You want to crush him tonight?
Yeah.
All right. Satan, we speak to you. We declare now under the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We declare that your banner has been raised, Jesus. And now, Satan, we declare that you are being crushed under our feet. Be crushed, Satan. Be crushed, Satan. Be crushed, sickness. Oh, hallelujah. God says into my spirit, there are so many people, even here after all the deliverance, that still feel defective, that suffer under a load of anxiety and guilt that is so deep that they can hardly read the word without it getting in and making them feel guilty. So I said, what do I do about that? He says, okay, read this. Turn with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. This is the word. This is the word of God for you. This requires that you sign the covenant for this verse. Go to the cash register, pay for it. This means that you enter into covenant relationship with God to receive it and to pay whatever it costs. Right? Are you willing to pay for it? If it costs, will you pay? How many are willing to pay? Okay. Thanks be to God who always does what? Leads us in His triumph. Leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. Can you imagine such an outrageous statement? Do you have the faith that can get in around that and draw it into your spirit? Do you know that as priests of the Most High God, in order to offer this aroma, you have to be a priest? Furthermore, you have to be a priest who understands the difference between the sacred and the profane. You have to be a priest who can recognize the Shekinah glory and can hear God pronounce His name to the congregation. And now He says, you as priest must know that I always lead you in triumph in Christ, manifesting through you the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Christ in every place. For you are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. You smell. To those who are in death, you stink. And to Satan, you stink. To those who are in life, you are the aroma of an accepted sweet offering to the Father that opens the floodgates of His divine purpose in your life. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, you smell good. Ask God to open your senses so you can begin to smell people. We counseled a young woman that you never had smelled such a bad smell in your life. And she was a nurse and she was clean and she smelled like zest, but she had a bad smell. Now, write it there. And one day in church, and she was standing there and they were having some sort of a power thing going on. And Adair and I were there and just in our spirit, we were saying, God, deliver her. And boom. She threw up right on the seat in front of her. Shocked us. Embarrassed her. Fortunately, the church was used to that sort of thing. And they had a team. There were people there with buckets and mops before you could shake a stick. It was wonderful to see. But do you know, from that point on, that smell was gone. Oh, hallelujah! God is real! And the anointing is real. And the priesthood is a very demanding, powerful station into which we've been put by God. One little word of caution. I'll get to this probably a little deeper. Nadab and Abihu, sons of Aaron, being trained. You could just see their dad so proud as he helped dress them in their linen breeches so they wouldn't sweat. Helped put on the various things. And then to train them to minister to the Lord. Do you know what they offered to the Lord? Of course, you know the story. They offered strange fire. They offered common fire. They took the holy things of God and dealt with them with their own mind instead of with their spirit. They dealt with them with the soul instead of with their spirit. They let the mind of man take the place of the mind of Christ. And that strange fire, and fire came out of the altar and consumed them. And the Lord says to you, I'm going to train you now. I'm going to train you. The priesthood is an awesome responsibility. It deals with the Shekinah. It deals with a group of people who are willing to stand at the door of the tent of meeting and pronounce the name of God until the Shekinah glory comes and moves on them. Last night we had a touch of the Shekinah here. You know that, don't you? We have a touch of that. Not a touch. That's not even a good word. The Shekinah glory is always, always the message that God is resident and that God is on the move and that change is coming. God is on the move. Say it. God is on the move. All right. God is on the move. Hallelujah. 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 I've got something about Ephesians 5. Let's look at that for just a minute. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 2. Verse 1 is just too intimidating. David, read verse 1.
Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children.
Be followers of God. Do you know what that word follow in the Greek really is? Be imitators. Imitate God. If I told you all to stand up and start imitating God, what would you do? He says it, be imitators of God. Do you know what the first thing you'd do? Is you'd go to the people who are hurting and hold them and say, hey, I care. If you made a mistake with any of them, you'd go and say, hey, forgive me, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. Imitators, God doesn't make mistakes, but He does fill us with the kind of love He has, which rebuilds and restores and renews and creates and releases the new creation into mankind. Oh, hallelujah. Be imitators of God. 2, walk in love just as Christ also loved you. Now that also puts us on the spot, doesn't it? Doesn't it tell you that you're going to have to do something the way Jesus did it? How do we do things the way Jesus did it? First, you go through all of the deliverance stuff you need to go through over and over and over. But don't be intimidated or discouraged by that. Just keep doing it. Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God, a fragrant aroma. As you get close enough to Christ to duplicate His activity in you, or so that He can duplicate Himself through you, you become an aroma, a very special aroma. I think there's something in Ezekiel about that. Let's look at Ezekiel 20, verse 41. Ezekiel 20, Paul says you are an aroma. Paul wasn't making up a word. He hadn't just passed a flower shop and smelled some nice roses. Paul was going through the catalog of the meaning of Hebrew words. Verse 41, as a soothing aroma, I shall accept you when I bring you out from the peoples and gather you from the lands where you are scattered, and I shall prove myself holy among you in the sight of the nations, and you will know that I am the Lord when I bring you into the land of Israel, into the land which I swore to give to your forefathers. Who's Israel? What did Norman teach us today? We're Israel. This has been a theme. Ralph taught the same thing. We're Israel. Can you believe He is bringing us out of the lands of our captivity into the land where Israel begins to function as Israel. Can you believe that? You are an aroma. A soothing aroma. As a soothing aroma, I shall accept you. Can you believe that you are accepted in the Beloved? Then why do you look so strained? Why do you look like, hey, just ten more deliverances and I'm going to be free? As though that was important to God. It's important to you. And it's important to the body of Christ. But when God looks at you, He sees Jesus Christ. If you ran right up to the Lord, just right now, to God, and says, oh, I did such a terrible thing this afternoon, God, I want you to forgive me. He'd look at you and say, what are you talking about, son? Listen, let me enter into just a little bit of beautiful stuff. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is what? He is a new creature and a part and a member of the new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. All things have become new. This is a part of the manifestation of the new creation, the new heavens and the new earth. And it's made for us as we come into it. Any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. What has passed away? All things passed away. Do you believe it? Can you say that in faith, all things have passed away? What about the stuff stuck up in your memory? Huh? Are you able to say, forgetting all that's past, I press on? Anybody having trouble with forgetting? Anybody having a spirit of regret? I have problems with that once in a while. Father, in the name of Jesus, we enter into the divine provision for forgetting. We say to one another, we say to our deep self, forgetting all that's past, I press on. Oh God, let divine holiness now wash away that stuff. Let the blood of Jesus do its cleansing so that we aren't hung up on those mental loops that poison. Make us toxic in the name of Jesus. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. New things have come. I challenge you to sit down and make a list of the new things he's talking about. Don't read this book like you're reading a Sears and Roebuck catalog. Ask the Holy Spirit to quicken into your spirit the new things which belong to you. Don't you know that Satan is right there waiting to grab that and go, he's got the vacuum cleaner there. He's going to suck every revelation out of your head as fast as possible. Ask the Holy Spirit to put that in you in such a way as to engrave it so that you can make a list of 200 or 300 new things that have come. Now remember, this isn't easy. He says, your eyes can't see it, your ears can't hear it, neither can it enter into your heart those things which God has prepared for those He loves. Now, that's kind of a hard thing. If I were a school teacher and telling my kid, and I was for 25 years, and said, hey, kids, I'm going to give you something you can't see, you can't hear, you can't understand. Isn't that fun? And then I'm going to give you an examination. If you fail it, I'm going to do bad things to you. Okay. You can't see it, you can't hear it, you can't know it. He says, but what? The Spirit of God has revealed them to us so that we don't know it up here. We grow it down here. We become the thing that God declares that we are. We become it in our very nature so we don't have to act the part. I'm a priest. See my robes? I've just painted my face to look holy. It's an abomination. He who searches the deep things of God will go on a journey with you into your very mind so that you can know those things and take them out of the mental processes and put them into where the Spirit is so you aren't offering strange fire. So you aren't playing a religious game. So you aren't saying, I'm sanctified. But you stand in holiness in the presence of Jesus as a sanctified minister of this message of reconciliation. Oh, be ye reconciled. God will teach you how to walk through grocery stores and with your very countenance say, be ye reconciled. What is this ministry of reconciling? It says, now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, what? What is this word of reconciliation? That God is reconciling the world to himself through Christ Jesus, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us this word of reconciliation. It is not a matter of sin. It's a matter of being born into the family of God. Be ye reconciled. It says right here, he doesn't count their trespasses against them. He's not up there with a big ledger saying, ha ha, I just saw that one old guy and he's marking it down. He says, oh, everything ever done is taken to Calvary and paid for. The tragedy of people going to hell as though they're going there because of sin, when they're going there because they're dead. They've not been born. They've not heard the word of life from people who have the ministry of reconciliation. Take this, read it. Take it seriously. Go to people and say, oh, God loves you. Get to know him. Be born of the Spirit now. Most Christians are so sin conscious that they honestly don't think of themselves as a fragrance or as a treasure or as being loved or anything else. Okay. I looked at my watch just because I need to take a breath. Besides that, I got some water here. It's last week's. It's all right, you can drink any deadly thing. It's not a problem. thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. I'm just looking at where I want to go next. Look at chapter 4. That's a mystery. No, it isn't chapter 4. It's chapter 3. Just continuing in the same area of 2 Corinthians. I want you to see some things here. Paul is telling the people some things so they'll begin to understand the process of how they develop into the body, how they develop as Christians. He said, you are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human heart. Become aware of the Holy Spirit writing in your life. One of the tremendous values of Lake Hamilton is that you get to sit under Dr. Null, under these powerful vessels, and the Holy Spirit begins to write. This letter is the most unique, mysterious, powerful letter you can imagine. It's a letter written by the Spirit, and it's called you. Now, down in verse 16 of chapter 2, he says, who is adequate? Who is adequate for these things? There is a spirit of inadequacy in Christians. You know that, don't you? Especially if you can't play the piano. I can play, but only on the white keys. And sometimes I can even make it sound like a melody. No. Who is adequate for these things? Who is adequate? Paul is asking a question. Are you adequate? Can you honestly say, yeah, I'm adequate? I hope not. I don't want to be the only one sitting here, standing here, who feels inadequate. Who is adequate for these things? Verse 3 of the next chapter, chapter 3, verse 3, being manifested that you're the letter. And then verse 6, he's talking about verse 5. Not that we are adequate in ourselves. He says it's all right for you not to feel adequate in yourself. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves. But our adequacy is what? Our adequacy, a little bit louder.
From God.
Can you say I'm adequate then? In God, I'm adequate. Okay, just say I'm adequate. Okay. In God, I'm adequate. Who also made us adequate as servants of what? Servants of the new covenant. Servants of the new covenant. At one place, Paul says, oh, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you might know the hope of his call and the glories of the riches of his inheritance in the saints. The covenant releases the inheritance and it gives the promises in the inheritance and all the stuff that comes with the inheritance. And guess who the executor of his will is? We are the executors of the will. We are responsible to see that the inheritance given to us as servants of the new covenant, we're servants of the covenant. This means we take care of the stuff and we administer it. Most Christians don't know what belongs to them. Satan has put the vacuum cleaner to their head and sucked out all the good stuff. You are adequate as servants of the new covenant so you can tell people who they are in Christ, what they have in Christ, what are their responsibilities, what this cost in the whole business. This is what a servant of the new covenant is all about. What do you have in covenant? What does covenant... We just heard, we just had at least two full hours on covenant. Covenant promises. What's the first thing that you get in covenant? A relationship with Jesus Christ, okay? What else do you get? Everything that he has and is. You get the full content of this word. You get the glories of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Do you know that you can't know anything about God truly without it becoming part of your being? Do you know that you can't come up and say, oh, hello, God, without being absorbed into him and changed? Don't you know that when you see him, you become like him because you see him? The process of transformation is the process of revelation in our hearts and lives. No revelation, no transformation. A spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. It's in that spirit of revelation that we undergo the process of transformation. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? That you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. When do you do that? 24 years ago when you gave your heart to the Lord? Every single day of your life when you jump out of bed or crawl out of bed or stay in bed and open one eye. You say, oh, Father God, I present my body as a living sacrifice. I present it free of sickness. I present it free of lust. I present it free of demonic things. I present it to you. See, that's what holy means. Ha! You can't present a holy thing unless it's holy. And so just say it. Oh, here I am. Holy, made holy by Jesus Christ. Manifest that holiness in me. And then say, Father, I've got a problem. Because of all of my training, all of these tape loops, I am conformed to the world system. And it's stealing my heritage. It's stealing my name. It's stealing my stuff. I do not want to be conformed to this world. I want to be transformed by the changing of my mind. This is not a religious conviction. This is a dynamic changing process that makes you into another person. It changes your name. It writes things all over your body. It puts you under the examining scope of the Holy Spirit who looks you over. Furthermore, it does something tremendously profound. Some years ago, a lot of years ago, we had a teacher in our son's school named Paul Grossman. One September, he came back to school with his name tag, Paula, And he was wearing a dress.
Yeah. The principal almost stepped on his mouth, his own mouth. He couldn't believe what he was saying.
And he said, you can't go in there. And the thing said, yes, I can. I've talked to my lawyer, and finally they got injunctions and stuff and wouldn't let him go in. He became a transsexual. He changed gender, he thought. Now, in Hebrew, soul is feminine. It has nothing to do with gender per se. It's just feminine. Spirit is masculine. We must not be governed by the soul. We must not be governed by the feminine principle. Therefore, you are transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you no longer are governed by your emotions. You no longer are triggered by memories that were fake to begin with, based on the foolishness of the world. You are transformed by a change in your essential nature. David says, my soul shall make her boast in thee, O Lord. Soul is always in the feminine gender. God made us that way. There came a time when David saw that he was governed much too much by his emotions. And he went through the process. He paid what it paid to have his soul restored. And then he said, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my... Say that. He restoreth my soul. This means that your soul becomes servant to your spirit and not to your emotions and not to your physical body. When your soul is restored, it does the thing it's supposed to do and designed by God to do. And that's to make you wise in carrying out your earth duties, but not be subject to them. The spirit of this world will play soul games until you go nuts. Be ye transformed only after you have presented your body a living sacrifice, holy, without blame, in faith before God. Oh, people, get in the habit of doing it. Before you read your Bible each day, just say, oh, God, I present myself to you now. I need to have my mind renewed. If you're like I am, you don't feel terribly smart, especially after you listen to people talk like we listen. They obviously remember everything. That's kind of a compliment over here. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be willing to pay the cost of that to people. Oh, do you know what it means to lose something that you thought was real, that you could count on? You'll lose it unless you lose your life, unless you learn how to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow. You can't in any way enter into kingdom reality. Denying self. Oh, that is so hard. But you don't have any alternative. You don't have any options at all. You have to take one from column A and one from column A and one from column A, and that is deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. When you deny self, it means that you deny that which was essentially earth-oriented, earth-organized. All right? All right. He says in verse 6, I'm not going to prolong this too much longer. Oh, I don't know if I will or not. I'll see what the Lord wants to do. Verse 6 of chapter 3, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter what? The letter kills. The Spirit gives life. Letter is a form of doctrine which you can learn, which makes you think you got what you don't have. And when you live under the deception of doctrine, you live essentially in a shadow land, which is death. It's all legalism. It's all legalism. This is why here at Lake Hamilton, when you get a teaching on covenant, as David so beautifully taught, and as Norman, well, as they all taught, you have to go through constant deliverance. Constant examination, so you don't get under condemnation. The minute you play the soul game, I joyfully concur with the law of God in my inner man, but I see a different law
operating in the members of my body. That which I want to do, I don't do. And that which I don't want to do, I do. Now, if I do that which I don't want to do, it's not me doing of it sin. You get to play that soul game until the soul will find ways of excusing. And they never go, then they'll say, and there's therefore now no condemnation to anyone who is in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free, but only to walk under the Spirit. For those who set their mind on the things of the flesh die a death twice over. For if you yield to the flesh, you become slave to the flesh. And your soul is so stupid as to think if it memorizes a few scriptures, it can go and do its thing. Listen to the charismatics of 10, 15 years ago. They led down the rabbit trail of all kinds of license instead of liberty. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. And that freedom is freedom into holiness, freedom into priestly robes, freedom into the place in the temple where you in fact serve God without fear and with great reverence. This is where you are empowered as men to stand at the door of the tent of meeting and pronounce the name of God until the Shekinah comes. If there isn't the Shekinah over a church, it's because the men aren't standing at the door of the tabernacle pronouncing God's mighty name. You know that, don't you? Oh, it's time for us to take inventory of what God wants. Thank God He's not waiting for us. He's already bringing people who can stand at the door of the tent of meeting. You know that whenever Moses stood at the door of the tent of meeting, always the Shekinah, the pillar of cloud, the manifest presence of God came and instructed Moses as to what to do. When you stand at the door of the tent of meeting as it relates to your own household, He will tell you what things are infected in your home or in your life. He will guide a congregation into cleanliness, into healing, into a work ethic that will produce jobs for everybody. There's a spirit of laziness in many, many churches. There's a spirit of laziness among pastors. We visit, and they just sit around, and they just read, and they talk. Our favorite pastors are those who have businesses. We have two in northern Georgia. One is a postal carrier and the other has a tire shop. They work so hard. But they go Sunday morning or Wednesday night or day by day, fully prepared in the things of the Lord, and they are busy. I declare that a spirit of laziness is a satanic deception put on America. America has become lazy. We've developed a welfare system that's destroying the center cities. You have to stand at the door of the tabernacle until the Shekinah comes and listen to what God's saying about that. Because that's how change comes. Change comes with the cloud. Oh, hallelujah. Well, maybe I should take just one more thing. I don't feel quite as hot as I did last night. Maybe I'm not quite as... The television guy isn't there. That helps. You notice I'm standing back here instead of up there? Oh, hallelujah. Let me give you one more little thing in this area. Verse 4 of chapter 4. Now, start with verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, let the word of God quicken that to you. I don't want to even move until you're able to say, I have this ministry. I have this ministry. He's completing a thought when he says, therefore, since we have this ministry. He's talking about what? In verse 8. Look at verse 8. He says, therefore, since we have this ministry. He's talking about verse 8. What ministry is talked about in verse 8? Come on. How shall the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? The ministry of the Spirit. The ministry of the Spirit. Do you have the ministry of the Spirit? You better have. You have to have the ministry of the Spirit or you can't make sense of the Word of God. It'll become doctrine and kill you dead. All right. Verse 14 saying why? I'm backtracking just a little bit. I didn't take the time.
to take you through this the way if we'd had a lot of time, I would do it. It says, their minds were hardened, for unto this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, what remains? The veil remains unlifted because the veil is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. And then he quotes an Old Testament scripture, but whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Then in verse 17, oh, listen, this is something which I really want you to catch. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what?
Liberty.
All right. Now, in the Greek, this can be read this way, or it can be read this way. Listen to this. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. You can take it both ways, and you should. Let your prayer life begin with, Spirit of God, be Lord. Spirit of God, govern me. I don't want my emotions. I don't want old religious doctrines. I don't want old fairy tales or Jewish mythologies to govern me. I want your Spirit to be Lord. What happens when the Spirit is Lord? There's liberty and justice for all. What is liberty? Freedom. I've watched Christians. Some of them look kind of free. They tool around in their kind of nice cars. They go to Hardee's. They don't look all bound up. But they don't look like they know God very well either. Where the Spirit is Lord, you are taken into the central place of the sanctuary, into the Holy of Holies, where you are permitted to examine the table of showbread, where you're permitted to sit under the glorious reality of the light of the lampstands, so you can begin to see Jesus walking among the lampstands, so that you can become part of the prophetic fulfillment of what is going on right now. And that's only done by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's not done by just religious indoctrination. It's not even done by teaching. It's done only when the Spirit is Lord in your life. When Jesus Christ and the Spirit of Christ moves into you as the director of all of your processes, your mind processes, your thought processes, your emotional processes. Don't be governed by your emotions or by your appetites or by your hormones. No, don't. Don't. Do you know that if the church was in its proper place, there would be no such thing as menopause? Do you know that if the body of Christ was functioning under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, women would mature without going through the crazies? And then explaining their crazy behavior by saying, well, you know, I'm going through the change. The only change we are entitled to go through is from glory to glory. Even from the Lord the Spirit. How in the name of Jesus be free? Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm not a woman. Yeah, see, Dr. Bill, he says, you can tell this is a man talking.
They were all going to leave their wives.
That's right. Yeah. I hope you can hear what Bill said. It won't be on the tape, but it's wisdom. All right. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is Lord, there's liberty. But we all, that means everyone here, we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being transformed. You are being changed from being soul-oriented and mind-oriented to being oriented by the Spirit of the Lord. When this transformation is complete, you will say with confidence, but I have the mind of Christ. And you won't look around for a doctrine. You'll listen for the prophetic word. You'll listen for what God wants to say to this person or that person. You'll listen in order to minister to the hurt, the broken, the empty, the hungry, the needy. This is what the body of Christ is. Oh, hallelujah. Being transformed into that image, the image of the Lord. This is God and Christ saying, come, let us now really make them in our image. You are being transformed into that image from glory to glory, from the glory of the old to the glory of the new. Just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, do not what? Lose heart. This is Paul's way of doing what Dr. Null does when he has to give someone a shot. If it's a little person, he says, oh, this isn't going to hurt much. Don't lose heart. If God says don't lose heart, it means you're going to lose heart. He just warned you. You remember, we started this. God says you're precious. God says, I love you. God says, I honor you. Last night, he says, I've installed you as a priest in my temple. Last night, he said, oh, I'll show you my glory. From glory to glory. Oh, hallelujah. 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 God said, verse 6, light shall shine out of darkness. This is the one who has shone in our hearts. And this was part of my conclusion last night. Maybe I haven't really concluded yet. Shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And then Paul says, we have this treasure where? In an earthen vessel. Why? So that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God, not from ourselves. He says, if you catch on to this, you will have power flowing from every pore. You'll be like Charles Finney, who stood and looked at a group of women, and every one of them fell right over on the floor. And it wasn't that he went at them at all. He just stood in his earthen vessel and looked. And the surpassing greatness of that power was of God, and everybody knew it. We don't, most of us don't even have 2 ounces of power. This is where you begin to examine what's happened to the power. Because if you are not experiencing and manifesting power, it means that the God of this world has blinded your minds with unbelief. Unbelief that the Word of God is active and living in you. That the Word of God says you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That you will cast out devils and they'll go. That you can go to a demented person and say, in the name of Jesus, be free. The surpassing greatness of that power. Oh, people, I invite you into the reality of the simple word of God. It isn't even complicated. He says, so that the surpassing greatness of that power will be of God. Oh, hallelujah. And not from ourselves. Verse 8. This is one of Paul's unusually precious little signposts. And you remember this. Because this is one of those wonderful positive confessions. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Have you ever stood up for a testimony and said, I've been really afflicted, but I'm not crushed? Is that a positive confession? In a sense. Look at the next one. What does he say after crushed? What's the next word? Perplexed. Surely not a Christian. Perplexed. Do you think Paul was ever perplexed? If he says this, you know he was. Or you know that most of the people he worked with were perplexed. Do you know it's all right to be perplexed? If you move by the Spirit into your spirit so you don't try and work it out with your brain. I don't care how brilliant you are. If you try to work it out at the soul level, the perplexion will change your complexion. He says we're perplexed but not despairing. In the name of Jesus, I just minister to you now the discernment to tell despair in its many functions. The church is suffering under a despair you can't even believe. The people we counsel can hardly look us in the eyes because they're so filled with despair. They are perplexed and despairing. That's when you take them by the hand and say, you can be perplexed, that's all right. I don't understand it either. But the despair is a religious spirit sucking on your vitality, and I bind it in the name of Jesus and command it to stop. Anyone here who's undergoing despair right now, I release you from it in the name of Jesus. Just sense it going. You can feel it going. If it doesn't go right now, we'll just say the name of God until the Shekinah comes and makes it go. Spirit of despair can't hang around. He says, in fact, you're going to be persecuted but not forsaken. You're going to be struck down but not destroyed. Always carrying about in your body the dying of Jesus Christ. You think that's an attractive invitation? Do you think I'm going to say now, come on up, we're all going to experience the dying of Jesus Christ in our body? Actually, I am. Because I want you to know that there's no free ride in this, that this will cost you everything. It will cost you a revelation in yourself about what this is going to really do to you. You will carry about in your body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ so you can go through the redemptive processes for your neighborhood, for your church, for your family. Doesn't mean you redeem them. It means you enter into the process that Jesus finished and completed. But you don't do it in a religious sense. You do it in the dynamic reality of warfare that actually works in the reality of a person's life. This isn't make-believe. All right, and with this, I'm going to close. So, well, verse 11. I'm not going to close after all. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to what? To death. We are constantly being delivered over to death. You like that? Listen, if you take this and learn it, and love it, and meditate on it, you'll begin to understand some of the changes in your life. You'll understand why so many times, just as you were going, you hit the wall head on, and you couldn't understand it at all. You are being constantly delivered over to death because that's God's purpose in your transformation. Because you said one day, Lord, I will deny myself. I will take up my cross. That doesn't mean a little gold pendant. It means a thing which puts to death that thing in you which resists God. That's the old man. All right. So death works in us. Of course, life is working in you. Paul was just reflecting on how this was really doing a thing on him. And it's doing it on you and it's doing it on me. But now life. Oh, people. When Paul says, oh, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection, he was talking about the outcome of being delivered over to death so that he could be raised to sit with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. Having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I what? I believed, therefore I spoke. I believed, therefore I spoke. No speaking. No, nothing. If you believe without speaking, all you do is invite fantasies or religious demons or both, and you miss the dynamic working of a revealed word that changes your life and changes the life of your assembly. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. You can only do that when you speak. You got to speak to those buggers. You know that, don't you? Oh, hallelujah. I believe, therefore I spoke. Now, first, I want just the men to stand now. Just men. Men, I want you to stand. I want you to raise your hands and say, Lord God Almighty, I call on your name. I call on your name as Jehovah God. Jehovah God. Resident in Christ. Now, Father, show us your glory. Show us your glory. Let the Shekinah come. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Women, I want you to stand now. You don't really differ because your spirits have that masculine right, the spirit to say, Father God. So, women, I want you to say, Father God.
Father God.
Show us your glory.
Show us your glory.
Show us your glory as El Shaddai.
Show us your glory as El Shaddai.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All of you say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The spirit of faith is a speaking faith. A spirit of faith is different from just faith. A spirit of faith is an empowered, moving faith that has a voice. It'll say, I am being healed. It'll say to this brother who needs so much, the healing power of Jesus has begun to work in you, brother. Speaking faith will say, thank you, Jesus, I'm being healed.
Thank you, Jesus, I'm being healed.
He's being healed. Oh, the devils of hell cannot keep him from being healed. Do you know that? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is saying, if you want speaking faith, if you want this word to become a living sword, a sharp two-edged sword that will divide between your soul and your spirit, so you aren't always in the deception of religious ideas without the reality, just come. Just come, gather around and speak the word of truth. Let the word speak. Let the brothers minister the truth of the word to you. Just come. Just come. Come as you come. Speak. Sing. Talk. Work. The spirit of faith is the speaking. Just come. Just come. Oh, hallelujah. Some of you can come up here if you want.
This is a word of knowledge, and the Spirit of God has spoken. He's pleased with what you're doing here this evening. He is pleased that you're coming to present yourself. He's pleased that you're coming here to receive the Spirit of faith. Yes. And he has given it to you this evening. As you come, you've received it. He also says that there are several of you have been loosed in your minds this evening. There are several of you that have been, that your minds have been locked up, but the Spirit of God has loosed you right now.
Yes.
Right now. You know who you are. The Spirit of God is even touching you right now. There are many of you right now that the Spirit of God is touching in your mind and loosing you in your mind. There are two of you here that are being loosed in your legs. The Spirit of God is loosing your legs. There's been bondage in your legs, and the Spirit of God is loosing in your legs right now. The Spirit of God is moving right now among us. He is moving among us right now. There's a loosing in the legs. There's some minds being healed right now. There's some clarification that you've never had before. And the Spirit of God is doing this. He's doing the work right now. Right now he's doing it. Hallelujah. 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 There's a relationship being healed right now. There was a relationship between a man and a woman here, that, and it was being severed, but God is healing it right now. And you're going to come together in a special and a new way, and God is bringing that relationship together. I don't know who it is, but the Spirit of God has spoke to me. There's a relationship being mended and put together. It's going to be put together, and it's not going to fall apart again, ever. God is in this relationship now. God is changing the people, both parties. There's a change coming. There's a change coming. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Say, Lord.
Lord.
I present my body.
I present my body.
A living sacrifice.
A living sacrifice.
Made holy in Jesus.
Made holy in Jesus.
Acceptable to you, Father.
Acceptable to you, Father.
As a living sacrifice.
As a living sacrifice.
I am not conformed to the world.
I am not conformed to the world.
But I am being transformed, by the renewing of my mind. I am being raised up. I am being taught by the Spirit of the living Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I sing the new song. The Lord is in His temple. Transformation is taking place. Hallelujah. 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 Holy, holy, holy. And I saw the Lord, and He was high and lifted up as His angels cried, holy, 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 holy. Cry holy to the Lord, holiness to the Lord, holy.
This day, yea, know this day that I have worked in you. Yea, I have touched those in religious bondage,
yes.
Those who have been bound by legalism, those who have been bound by deception, those who have been caught in the throes of indecision, those who have been caught in the throes of unbelief. Yea, I have touched you this day. I have touched you and I have filled you with the spirit of faith. I have filled you with a knowledge of a revelation of me. Yea, center in on me. Center in on me and let the old things pass away. These old things that you have clung to that bear no fruit. These old things that suck you dry and keep you from a revelation of me. Move away from them. Move away from them and move to me as I have been revealed to you. Yea, know that this day that I love you and that I am leading you. I am leading you into a new level. I'm leading you into a level where you can walk with me and commune with me. And yea, the shackles of the old ways will drop off. And yea, the shackles of the old diseases will drop off. And the old fears will drop off. And yea, you shall become a new creature. A new creature at a new level, saith the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.